Amen. Now, everyone here tonight knows that how we respond to certain things is very important. Many, many things happen to us in our life. It's how you respond to them is important. You take, for instance, criticism. Well, we don't like being criticized, do we? Especially when you've done your best and someone then criticizes you. Someone says a critic is a man who knows the way but can't drive the car. He knows everything but can't drive the car. So people criticize us. Well, how do we respond to this? Well, we can get mad. All right. We can get bitter. We can lose sleep. Maybe someone criticizes you and you just can't really sleep that someone has said these things to you and we don't really like it, or we can get over it, or we can learn. There are good criticisms sometimes. We have to say that. So how do we respond to criticism? What about problems? It doesn't matter who you are in this meeting tonight. You'll have your difficulties. You'll have your problems. Whether you're saved or whether you're not saved, each one in this world has their problems. They come in all shapes and sizes. How do you respond to the problems? That's important. That's how you respond to it. Do we yearn? Do we moan? Do we cry? Do we complain? Or, for God's people, do we trust the Lord and get on with it? So it's important, even when difficulties come, and they will come. Maybe this week, difficulties will come into your family and into your life. We think about fallouts. We don't speak. We get bitter. Or can we forgive and forget? You think of work, and there's a lot of pressure in people's work today. They get anxious. And maybe you're anxious here. You're worrying, Noel, you don't know what I've got to face this week. I have to go to the workplace. There's problems and they're mounting and they're so high. I don't really want to get out of bed tomorrow morning to go to work. And you're under pressure at work. And you're anxious. And then you're cross. You can hardly look at you. Someone says sideways, you're about to explode. I always said by some people, you're like one of those little toys. And some of my grandchildren is one. You know the buckaroo toy. And you sort of put on this and you put on that. And then you put on this and you put on something too much. And it kicks the heels up and the whole lot goes. Well, some people's like that. How do you respond to pressure? How do you respond to losing? You'll always have losses in this life. We lost friends, we lost family. You can lose your health. And if you're into sport, you can lose games. And I try to teach my little grandchildren, I have a number of grandchildren, and I try to teach them this very simple thing. When you play football, and they love the football, and I love the football, and when you play football, remember this, you ain't going to win every game. Some days you're going to get beat. And I want them to learn that, because most days they will get beat if they take after me at the football. But I want them to learn. You're not always going to win. And you have to learn to lose in this world. And you will lose. You will lose many things, as I already indicated. You may lose members of your family. You may lose your health. You may lose friends. You may lose many, many things in this world. But you see, it's so, so important how you respond to these things. How you respond to all of these things. How you respond to Christ is very, very important. It's how you respond to him. And you're in the meeting tonight to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've been singing about Christ. And when I came through that door, you were singing about the blood of Jesus Christ. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than the snow. And you've been singing that and you've heard it. So it's so important how you respond to that. And I want to say this tonight to you. It's so important. It's a difference between life and death. It's the difference between heaven and hell. How you personally, individually, responds to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the words of John the Baptist in John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son, listen, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Do you see the difference? There are those who believe. They believe that Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than snow. And there's those who do not believe, do not trust Christ. The wrath of God abideth on hell. So you can see here that responding to Christ is very important. And as I read this whole chapter, I didn't take time to read it tonight. It's well known, I'm sure, to most people. I was struck about how people responded when they met the Lord Jesus Christ. How each one of them responded. And as we will look at this, we will see that these things happen every day, and they happen perhaps even tonight in this meeting. They happen in our ministry, in our witness for Christ, in our gospel campaigns, in the preaching of Jesus Christ. We see these things all the time, how people respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to look at that tonight here, because in this passage, I notice there's three types. And maybe you'll say, no, there's number four. That's good. You can give me that point after the meeting. But let's just look at some things. There are some people ridicule the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I mean by this, they mock him. Now, you see there what we read together. One of them in verse 40, when the Lord Jesus came into this home, and they laughed him to scorn. Do you see? Here's a house. Here's a people. The Lord Jesus Christ is in this home, and they're meeting Christ. They're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does it say here with these people? They laughed him to scorn. Listen, they mocked. They laughed at his person. They laughed him. And I want you to see that tonight. Who are they laughing at? Who are they laughing at? If I threw that out tonight in a quiz here to the congregation, who's are they laughing at? They're laughing at him. They're laughing at Jesus Christ. They're laughing at the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world. It was him. They mocked him. Him who's the Son of God. Him who is the Savior of the world. Him who's Lord of lords and King of kings. It's him who came into this world to save sinners. And here, look at these people. They're laughing. And the Bible says, the Word of God says, they're laughing at him. They're laughing at Jesus. I do not know. I don't know. Did they take their hand? Did they take their finger and point it at him? And they laughed. They laughed at the Lord Jesus Christ. That word laugh means to laugh down. And I was amazed when I got my concordance right. How do we look at that word laugh? I was really amazed that this word for laugh is only mentioned three times in the New Testament. And on every occasion, it's speaking about this instance in the home of Jairus. Every occasion. And the only place that it's meant this particular Greek word, there are other words, of course, but for this particular Greek word, it's used against Christ. Against the Lord Jesus, who's altogether lovely. They're not laughing at anybody. I have no doubt there were other people in this house. Maybe Jairus was in this house. They're not laughing. They're not laughing at Jairus. They're not laughing at his wife. They're laughing at him. I noticed that. They laughed him. And they laughed him to scorn. To scorn. Now, they're not the only ones who ridicule, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go through the New Testament. You'll see that the soldiers, when they were had the Lord Jesus before them, a different word, of course, to do with mocked. But it says in Matthew 27, verse 29, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Notice they're mocking Jesus. And the word mock means to jeer at. Do you hear them? Do you see them? They're mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. They're laughing at him. They're putting a crown upon his head, a crown of thorns upon his head, reed in his hand, they're bowing the knee. Oh, you think you're king. And they're mocking and they're jeering at the Lord Jesus Christ. They're laughing at him. Remember Luke 23, verse 11, Herod, when Herod had him and his men. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught notice and mocked him. Mocked him. And arrayed him in a glorious robe and sent him again to Pilate. And when Herod had him and his men had him and the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, they're meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're laughing and they're cheering at him. And they're mocking the Son of God. See, they mocked him and laughed him. And when he was on the cross, Luke 23, verse 11, and the soldiers also mocked, listen, him. I want you to see this. They're mocking him. And they're laughing at him. And they're cheering at him. And they're laughing at the Son of God. Now, the Lord Jesus had previously said they would do this because in Luke 18, verse 32, he says, for he shall be delivered, speaking about himself, unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked. He knew this was going to happen. He knew they would look at him. He knew they would laugh at him. They would cheer at him. But they laughed at him. Now, people are still laughing at Jesus Christ. People are still mocking him. We know what happened at the Olympics. I'm not going into that tonight. About all that blasphemy at the beginning of it. Linked with the Lord's Supper, that painting, famous painting. And the title came up, France Mock Christ. They mocked him. They mocked him. And they laughed at him. The Lord Jesus. There was a Brazilian surfer there who reportedly was forced to remove an image of Jesus from his surfboard. He had this surfboard, and not saying you should get one on yours or whatever it may be, but he had one, an image of Christ on it, and he was told to take it off before he could complete. Take it off. And he thought this was amazing. He says you can't have a representation on your surfboard, but you can mock him. You can mock him. You see, they're laughing at him. Here they're meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're laughing. And they're laughing him to scorn. And I asked you tonight, is this you? Is there someone here tonight in this meeting? And you're laughing at Jesus Christ. Maybe someone in your family. Maybe someone in your workplace. You see, they laugh him. The mockest person. And maybe that's you tonight in the meeting. Maybe you say, no, they don't. Well, oh, granted, but there are people do. I meet them. I meet them in my outreach work and so on. And they laughed at his person. And they laughed at his proclamation because in verse 39, the Lord Jesus came into the home. He says, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. And so they laughed him to scorn. This is where the context where they said this. You're a madman. He comes into this house with this young girl at 12 years old, and she's dead. And they know she's dead. And the Lord Jesus comes into this home. He said, hold on a minute. In a sense, he said, she's not dead. She's sleeping. Boys, they laughed. They laughed when they heard the Son of God proclaiming this message. They're saying you're a liar. They said you're a madman. They're saying to Christ, it's not true. It's not true what you're saying. It's not true. You see, they ridicule Christ. They laugh at him. At him and his proclamation. Now, do people not do that today? Do they not laugh when you maybe try to witness for them, to them in your workplace or home or wherever it may be about Christ? And you say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, he says... Because when we evangelize and when we do outreach work, we're bringing his message. We're saying what he says. And if we say to some people, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only Savior, and no one else can save you. They're ridicule us. They mock. They laugh. But you know, here's the wonderful thing tonight. He is the only way to God. And he is the only Savior. And yet people laugh at that when you tell them. They laugh, said you're mad, you're a hater, you're a Bible thumper. All those names. And then, of course, another thing, when we tell them that Jesus Christ died upon the cross for our sins, some people laugh. And I think of Muslims. Muslims are blinded. We have to give them that. They're blinded by lies. and deceit. And I'm sure none of us have no time for such false religion. And then actually say that Jesus Christ did not die. So there's no cross. There's no Calvary. There's no shedding of the blood. There's no sacrifice of the Lamb of God. That's what they say. Using my words, I can give you the quote. I have a quote there from them. And they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him. But here, I want you to see, the Lord Jesus said he would die. The Lord Jesus Christ said he was going to the cross. He was going to die. In Matthew 16, verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples. Remember, he says how that he must go on to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes. And notice the words, and be killed. And be raised again the third day. He's walking here with his disciples. And he says, we're going up to Jerusalem. But I'm warning you, and I want to tell you, before we go into Jerusalem about me, here's what's going to happen to me. We're going to suffer. I'm going to suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. And I'm going to be killed. Notice that. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised again the third day. And yet there are people all over the world deny this. They ridicule this. They laugh at this message of the cross of Jesus Christ. But thank God we don't laugh at it. We believe it tonight, child of God, in the meeting, that Jesus shed his blood to be our Savior. They ridicule what he says. And remember, I noticed here about his resurrection, it be raised again the third day. People laugh at that when you tell them about the death of the Son of God. And he died upon the cross for our sins. He made that atoning sacrifice unto God for our sins. He was placed into the tomb. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And people laugh. People mock the message. And they laugh. They're laughing really at him. And I think even about the resurrection of all God's people in Acts 17, verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. When they heard, they're hearing preaching here in Acts chapter 17, preaching about the general resurrection. And when they heard it, what did they do? They laughed, they mocked, they cheered at. So I say to you, there are people today. And they laugh at the Lord Jesus Christ. My brother, the Lord says, or Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. People may laugh at Christ, and they do laugh at Christ, and they may mock at the Lord Jesus Christ. They do. We know this is so true. So true. All around us today, there are people mocking Christians. They're mocking the Word of God. They're mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice here, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I came across a story in Brazil. A group of young friends drunk. They arrived to pick up a friend. Her mother was very worried because she knew these people had been drinking. She accompanied her daughter out to the motor vehicle. And when the young girl got in, her mother says, go with God, and may he protect ye. The daughter looked at her and says, only if he travels in the trunk, or the boot, as we would call it, because we're all full up in here. And they all laughed. Well, a few hours later, she got a report. There had been an accident, and the car had been wrecked, and everyone had been killed. And funny enough, the only part of the car that wasn't damaged was the boot of the car, the trunk. You cannot mock God. Maybe you don't mock God the way I'm saying. Maybe you say, no, well, I don't say these things about the Lord Jesus Christ. I sort of have a type of respect to the Lord Jesus. But listen, you must come to him. You must trust him with all of your heart. And these people laughed. They laughed. Listen, they laughed at him. Laughing at Jesus. The world laughs at our great Savior. But he is our great Savior. And he's a patient Savior. He's a loving Savior. He's a forgiving Savior. And if you have laughed at him and mocked him, he will forgive you if you repent. So I see here in this passage that I looked at it one day there, They ridiculed the Lord Jesus. They laughed at him. Now, I want to go on because our time is going on here. Verse 15 to 17, we talk about people here who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, these people, there was a great miracle taking place. The Lord Jesus had delivered legion here from these devils. And it came in verse 17, and the people came to him, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Now, notice here, they're meeting Christ. They're meeting him. The Lord Jesus come to the Galileans, and a great miracle had taken place. This man had been delivered. The devils had been cast out of him, driven into the sea. They heard the news, and they came to look at this man, because it was the talk of the whole community. What had taken place, you can imagine, the talk of the whole community, how this man, the people were terrified of him. They were afraid of him. Now he's freed. He's sitting. He's clothed. He's in his right mind. He's at the feet of Jesus. They came out to see it, and they were afraid. But they met with Jesus. They looked at him. They heard what just had taken place. What was their response to meeting Christ in this particular place, in this particular day? Well, look at verse 17. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Notice, they rejected him. That's how they did it. And notice this. They rejected him immediately. There shouldn't be no meeting took place between all the people at all. As soon as they came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord was before them, the Savior who had just delivered this man. Immediately here, they rejected him. And they rejected him determinedly, because you notice the words used here. They began to pray him to depart out of his coast. The word pray means to beseech or exhort. Or entreat. Listen, I want to see the heart, the attitude of these people. They're face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're saying, get out. Get out of our community. Get out of here. And they mean business. They pray it, they entreat it. They cried from their hearts. You hear them crying out, the Lord Jesus to depart. Matthew 8, verse 34, and it says, behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. And the word besought. Do you see the determination here in these people? They rejected him determinedly. They rejected him fearfully, because Luke 8, verse 37 tells us that they were taken with great fear. It was John Gill said in this particular verse, he says, lest they should suffer other great losses than the loss of swine. They realized someone had lost a lot of pigs, a lot of swine. And this is the reason. This is the commentator John Gill. And they were fearful about this. They said, hold on, I don't want to lose my cattle. Or I don't want to lose my pigs. I don't want to lose my possessions. And they're looking at Jesus Christ. And they're saying, get out. Get out of here. Get out. Dear friends, they rejected him fearfully. They rejected him foolishly. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. How foolish. How foolish. Him. We're back really at the beginning. Him, the Lord Jesus, the Savior. The mighty, loving Savior who came down from heaven, who died upon the cross, who saved sinners. It's him. Get out of here. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ when they were confronted with him. I tell you, there's people does that today. They do some immediately. Some people, you could hardly speak the word of Christ. You know them, I know them. Maybe they're family members in your case or mine. You couldn't even mention the Lord Jesus Christ. You could not bring him up in the conversation. The door is closed immediately. And they reject him immediately. Determinedly, they don't want to listen. As if they're putting their hands over their ears and not listening. And maybe that's you tonight in this meeting. You're told to repent from your sin and come to Jesus Christ, but they're not listening. You're not listening. You're rejecting him. And foolishly, how foolish it is to turn away from Christ. You see, here tells us that the began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Get out of here. Now, I have knocked a lot of doors in my ministry, in my lifetime over the years. I have been in an awful lot of different communities, and I've had doors slammed. I have to grant that I have, and so on. And you get these little things along the way. But I've never had anybody come and say, get you out of this community. Get you out. Maybe I get out of their garden or out from their home. All right, that's okay. But I don't believe I've ever had anyone come and say, get out of here. Get out of this town. Get out of this village. Not yet. But here's the Lord Jesus. And they're saying, get out of here. Do you want Christ in your life? Do you want him in your life? I'm talking about unsaved here tonight. Do you want someone who can save you? Someone can take away your sin. Don't say to Christ, go away from me. You need him. You need a savior. You need someone to wash away your sin and the blood. We were singing about the blood. Wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow. You need him. You need to come to him. You need to repent and put your faith and trust in Christ. But here's people. Just get out of here. And I do gospel campaigns, and you do your meetings as well, and there are people. They have no time for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Get out of here. There's room for many things, but not Christ. So they rejected the Lord Jesus when they met him. There it is before us. Now, our time is going on, and I just want to say this quickly. There were those in this passage, chapter 5, and I just want to mention briefly. They've received the Lord Jesus Christ. And it can be seen in the lives of three people, different backgrounds. But hold on. They had one thing in common. When they came face to face with Christ, they received him. They received him. The demonic man, he came, it tells us in verse 2, when he heard about Jesus Christ, he met him out of the tombs, he came and he fell at his feet and he worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 6, and when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran, listen, he ran and he worshipped him. He's receiving Christ by the grace of God, granted, we have to say that. On down this passage, there was a woman, the diseased woman, an issue of blood, 12 years of trouble, 12 years of sickness, facing, I want you to see, she's facing death, this woman. But she meets the Lord Jesus. He's passing through. And she comes to him with all of her heart, and she reaches out, and she touches, listen, she's touching the hem of his garment. And she's healed. She's healed completely, but I want you to see she's coming to Jesus Christ. I think here about Jairus' daughter, who's dead. He comes, he asks the Lord Jesus, will you come to my home? And the Lord Jesus comes, he takes her by the hand, he tells her to arise. But notice what's happening. People are meeting Christ, but they receive him. Notice, they received him as a deliverer. The first one, he's held by the devil. He's held by sin. He needs someone to deliver him. The Lord Jesus delivered him. We sang at him, didn't we? He is able to deliver thee. Don't be fooled by David. If you're held by any sin tonight, if you're held by alcohol, if you're held by drink, he's able to deliver thee. You receive him into your heart and life by faith. And he will deliver. So they received him as a deliverer. The woman received him as a healer because she needed heal, this woman. She needed someone to make her whole. But there's a great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he healed her. And he can heal you with his stripes. Listen, we're healed. Your feet runs after sin tonight. He can heal your feet. Your hand reaches out to sin tonight. He can heal you. Your tongue talks about sin tonight. He can heal you. He can heal you right from your head right to your feet. He received as healer and received as a life giver. Remember, the young woman was dead. And there's life. He's able to deliver thee from sin and hell. That's where you're going on, saved tonight. We have to be honest. We have to preach the word of God fairly and plainly and honestly to hearts of people outside of Christ tonight and in their sin. You need a savior, but Christ is able to deliver thee from sin and hell. Are you honest tonight and say, well, I know I'm lost. I know I'm on my way to hell. He is able to deliver thee. He's able to heal you, as I already indicated. He's able to give a sinner life. I am come. In John 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. There's life in Jesus Christ. I give unto my sheep, listen, eternal life. And for those who received him, there's deliverance, there's healing, and there's life. You see, you must turn to Jesus Christ. Remember the Bible says in John 1, verse 12, but as many, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Listen, to many as receive him. He gave you authority. He gave you the power to become the Son of God. Different responses to meeting Christ. They laughed. They ridiculed him. They rejected him. Get out of here. Get out of this place. We don't want you in this country. We don't want a bit of you. We don't want to hear your message. We don't want you. And there were those who said, Lord, I'm glad to see you because I need you. I need you to take away my sin. I need you, Lord, to wash me. I need you to give me life. Is that you tonight in the meeting? Which one are you tonight in the meeting? Do you know you need him? He says, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He will save you. Come and trust him. Come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll save you tonight. He'll cleanse you tonight. He'll forgive you tonight. He'll set your feet on the way to heaven tonight. You bring into a family of God. You come and trust him. Not yourself. You'll never do it. Don't be trusting me tonight. Don't trust anybody tonight. Don't trust a church. Trust Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And he can save you. Now you've been brought face to face with him tonight through the preaching. Through the preaching of the word of God. So what will you do with Jesus? What are you going to do with him? You make a decision tonight in your heart before you leave this meeting. What will you do with him? Are you going to reject him again? Are you going to trust him? I pray you'll come and trust him. Anyone's any questions, come and speak with me. Don't go home without Christ. And I pray, Lord, will touch your heart and bring you to himself that night. And he's a great Savior. Let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Every head is bowed and eyes are closed. And we just leave the message with you. We pray God has spoken to you. And maybe you're concerned, as already have indicated. Don't go home without Christ. Lift your heart now with all your heart and pray and ask him to cleanse you and to save you. And if you need our help, we're here to help you. Father in heaven, we thank you for your help tonight. We pray you'll bless the word to everyone who's heard it, to your people. And then, Lord, we pray to sinners. We pray that you will touch them tonight and cause them to repent and believe the gospel. We're glad there's a loving, great Savior who will save the uttermost, all, Lord, who come unto him. And we pray you'll move in hearts tonight. Take us our separate ways now, I pray. And bring us, Lord, all to our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.